I'm Tracksuit Dracula. What was that? Is that Graviton? The first time he showed up?
Yes. So I have been reading the AIM Island stuff where they've got all
I like the AIM Island stuff.
I like the AIM Island stuff too, but it's not...
And they have that weird council of people. And...
Yeah, and that's... Graviton's one of them. He's the minister of, I don't know...
Yeah, I don't remember.
Dracula's.
Minister of dicks.
But that's not really Jonathan Hickman stuff. Like, I've been seeing that in Nick Spencer's stuff.
I was going to say, I think it's Hickman and Spencer. I think there's a handoff somewhere in there.
And who else has been... It's been mostly in Secret Avengers that we've really been seeing the...
Maybe Secret Avengers was Spencer and Cott.
Yeah. Well, Cott only co-wrote like 3 issues of it. It's mostly Spencer.
That's the one that has Coulson in it, right? Secret Avengers.
And again, it's not a bad comic. It's just not an Avengers comic.
I'm trying to think of all the...
No, that one's mostly Black Widow, Hawkeye, Nick Fury, Daisy Johnson, Maria Hill.
Spider-Woman's in that. She is.
No, not Nick Spencer's run.
No, in Cott's run.
Maybe I haven't read Cott's run yet, but...
There's something with Coulson in there. To get
Spider-Woman was in one of the earlier... Oh, wow, what the hell? I don't know. I haven't read this stuff yet.
I have a stack of Hickman stuff. That was my problem when I bought them at that Second and Charles, and I can't figure out what comes first and what comes second because they keep renumbering them.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out by dates, I guess.
It took me a long time to... I went through... I have a list of the comics to read in the general order. It's not... That would have been the other thing, is just reading them in a general order was headache-inducing for me. If we were still doing The Avenging Hour, to try to put these in issue-by-issue order, I'm pretty sure I would have committed seppuku
by now. Oh, yeah, by like a timeline for it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've read them in chunks, and like I said, I have some that I haven't read yet, and I don't know where they fit, so I'm just going to read and be like, oh, okay.
You know, so Hickman also wrote The Manhattan Project? Is that one of his? Or?
Yes, that's his, yeah.
I didn't really like that, and I think Hickman is very plot-motivated rather than character-motivated, and that's okay.
Hickman does East by West, doesn't he?
Yes, which I also don't like as much as it's okay.
I like it, but it seems to be dragging.
And I just feel like he's interested in the plots, and that's fine, but with all these characters, I feel like most of them aren't getting a chance to do anything.
Yeah, I didn't like Manhattan Projects at first, and then I started to like some of the characters and the ideas that he brought into it. It's almost like a Grant Morrison type thing. Like, I like some of the stuff, but it's kind of weird and hard to follow. And
he has a lot of ideas, and that's what he has over Bendis. Bendis didn't really have much in the way of ideas. Whereas I agree with you, Jonathan Hickman is like a junior league or
an American Grant Morrison.
or Warren Ellis or one of those that has a ton of ideas, but it's not really. You know what I really like is Al Ewing's Mighty Avengers with Luke Cage and the Blue Marvel and Spectrum, and it's a great team.
Yeah.
The new Power Man.
I have not gotten that far.
Good stuff.
I haven't read any Al Ewing stuff, I don't think.
I really enjoyed his Mighty Avengers run. Sadly, it only went like 16 issues, but it's good stuff.
Did you read Tom King's Mr. Miracle yet?
No.
Okay. I'm waiting for that to come out and trade.
I'm hoping it'll show up.
Getting delayed. I think it's like March of next year now.
I'm hoping it shows up on Marvel Unlimited, but it hasn't yet. I don't know why.
Interesting. You should look into that.
I should write a letter. I'm going to write a note to Marvel Unlimited. Why isn't the new Mr. Miracle on your site yet?
If you guys knew what you were doing. AIM Island has Cannonball and Sunspot, right?
Yeah. Well, that's after Cannonball. That's right. That is in...
And then they end up taking over.
They buy it. Sunspot buys it.
Yeah.
So, which is odd, because in the Secret Avengers run, it's still run by AIM, by the Scientist Supreme, but that's right, I forgot about it. I liked Sunspot and Cannonball in the Avengers, and I wish that we could have seen more of them.
They were like the comic relief. They were like the Booster Gold and Blue Beetle.
except more competent.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Like, they never come off to me as incompetent, but they are. They are the comic relief.
That's why I said, Nick Spencer stuff, the timeline is weird for me. Or not Nick Spencer, Hickman and Spencer. Because I like Nick Spencer's writing. I've always liked everything he's read.
Because Nick Spencer does Morning Glories. Is that Nick Spencer?
Yes. Yep.
I love Morning Glories. But
I've been hit or miss with that. He did all the sensational Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
Oh, that stuff's great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
I love that stuff. Yes, that stuff's good. Again, part of my...
And now he's doing a series for Image called The Fix.
Part of my anger is at Marvel for calling it an Avengers comic when it's not. So that's me. That's on me.
What do you want him to call it? Avengers Tangent?
No, call it S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. It's a S.H.I.E.L.D. book. Call it S.H.I.E.L.D.
The Secret Avengers one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing is that sometimes Nick Spencer, and I see this in Morning Glories as well.
It's a secret. It's a secret that those Avengers are working for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Sometimes I think he's a little bit, not quite as smart as he thinks he is. Like, he gets wrapped up in his own plot convolutions. if that makes any sense.
Like the double crosses and the
loop and he's arounds. Like, and I'm gonna flash forward here, and then I'm gonna flash back, and then I'm, and it's too much. And it's like, calm down just a little bit and tell a story.
My only problem with Morning Glories is I can't tell who some of the characters are sometimes.
Yeah, which is not his fault, but you're right. The art there is, it could be better.
When top scientist Reed Richards led his team of explorers into space, they were blasted by a shower of cosmic rays. Endowed with incredible powers, their lives would change forever as they became the Fantastic Four.
Hey, I'm Jason.
I'm John.
Welcome back to Year One Comics.
Hey, welcome back. So,
do we have a theme song? I don't remember.
We have many theme songs.
Did you steal the Fantastic Four?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I wanted to talk about if I've gotten...
I'm just asking because I don't actually listen to these when we're done with them.
If I've gotten any emails from listeners...
Which you haven't.
It's been about the theme song, because it's changed, and obviously... Hopefully people realize that I'm using different Fantastic Four themes from various cartoons or movies. And I just want to point out, if you're wondering where your favorite Fantastic Four theme is, if I haven't used it, it's because it's horrible.
Or because we've been sent cease and desist letters.
The 1960s Fantastic Four cartoon, unfortunately, does not have a fun theme song like Spider-Man or Captain America from that era. And the 20-whatever Fantastic Four movie that starred Michael B. Jordan has some of the most boring, generic theme music ever.
And depressing.
Say what you will about the Tim Story Fantastic Four's movies, but at least their themes are bombastic and, you know...
Can I say whatever I want about them?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Julian McMahon, horrible Doctor Doom.
Oh, those movies, yeah, they had their issues. I'm not sure that... I think they cast two people in those movies well, which was Chris Evans and the Commish. Otherwise, the rest...
They cast Chris Evans so well that they used him again in Marvel.
Yeah, but as such a completely different character...
Yeah. You know, but he just got helped as a blonde. Didn't work for you.
He does do well as a Human Torch. No, I don't think Mr. Fantastic or Sue or certainly Doom are well cast. Mm. I like Julian McMahon. I do, but that's not the role for him. Like, make him the Wizard. Like, I could see him as the Wizard.
He seems kind of conniving.
Yeah, well,
he doesn't have the seriousness of a Doom.
Yeah, he's got the cockiness and the arrogance of the Wizard, and he's just cheesy enough that you expect him to lose.
Doom should have been Liam Neeson, was in Darkman with the scars.
That would have been amazing. Anyway, what are we doing in this podcast, Jason?
We're going to talk about Fantastic Four number 8.
It's from November of 1962,
and it freaks me out.
Yeah, this is... We'll talk about this,
but... dude's face. Eesh.
This is a new character this issue. We find on the cover, it's the Prisoner of the Puppet Master. We're going to be blowing out the peas on this episode.
Puppet Master. He's a big Fantastic Four villain.
He is, and he is, in this issue, Jack Kirby draws him creepy as hell.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to his face. That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, it doesn't seem human. Even though we are given no indication that he is not human, I'm pretty sure humans do not look like him. I've seen humans. I've never seen one that looks like him.
You've seen humans?
I've seen humans. Huh. I see him around. So, let's get right into this. Are you ready to dive right into this?
Let's do it. I think Thing quit the team again. By the third panel.
Mr. Fantastic is in his lab, and Sue and Johnny are trying to keep Ben out of his lab.
Without explaining why.
Yeah.
They just say, you can't go in there.
It's one of my least favorite tropes in fiction. The entire thing could have been cleared up if people would have just spent 15 seconds talking to each other truth.
And it happens in television shows all the time.
It happens in movies. I just saw The Crimes of Grindelwald.
Yeah.
And there are like three plot points in that movie where if people would just talk to other people, like adults for 30 seconds, would have been completely cleared up. Yeah, they won't tell Thing why he can't go in the lab. They'll just tell him he can't go in the lab, which, to be fair, I'm on the Thing side here, it enrages him.
Sure. Because the two of them could go in the lab if they wanted to. He's the only one that's not allowed.
So he puts Sue up on a bookshelf so that she doesn't get hurt. And then he tries to kill the Human Torch. And the two of them briefly fight until Mr. Fantastic comes out with a...
Fire extinguisher?
Fire extinguisher, puts the torch out, and tells Reed...
Tells Thing.
Or starts to tell the Thing why he couldn't go in the lab. But the Thing doesn't want to hear it and storms off.
He quit. Storms off. I get it.
So Reed sends the Invisible Woman invisibly after the Thing, which seems like not a bad idea for her powers if all she's going to do is tail him. But that's not all she's going
to
do.
Nope, she's going to knock people over for no reason.
She's going to try to talk to him. And so the Thing is having a conversation, it seems like, with no one in the middle of the streets of New York, and people are making fun of him. So Sue rather than, I don't know, turn visible and explain things, decides to beat people up invisibly for making fun of the Thing. Oh, and then the Thing wraps someone in a lamppost.
I'd make fun of Thing, too. Look at that last panel. Does he have an afro?
That's his hat.
It's a shadow of his hat. Got it.
But I wish he had an afro. In any case, while this is going on, Thing and Sue...
Ch-ch-ch-chia.
Thing and Sue notice someone on a bridge.
Yes, how do they notice him?
Way off in the distance.
Look, over there, 6 miles away.
He's climbing up a bridge, and they're so concerned he's going to fall or jump, so Sue sends up a flare to the Fantastic Four.
I thought she shot him. I'll get him.
There's a quicker way for you to die.
How can we save him?
Somehow, the flare over the bridge, Johnny and Reed back at headquarters look through some binoculars and see this guy on the bridge as well.
He just happened to be looking out the window right then.
Reed tries to stretch his arm to this guy and gets within, like, 3 feet and can't go any further. So Johnny flies over, and we find out that this guy is being controlled. There's a mysterious figure who has a symbol made of clay.
And has built a scale model of the bridge.
Yes.
Guy's gone through a lot of work to do this.
Apparently, he was letting this guy stand up there for, I don't know, 5 minutes has it been so far? But he's just about ready to push this guy off when the torch grabs him. Grabs the guy, the real guy, and flies away with him. And when this gentleman, who we find out is the puppet master, goes to touch his puppet, it burns him. It burns his finger.
Because the guy is on fire?
Which he's clearly not. Like, the human torch is using his human hands, not his flamey hands, to grab the guy.
All right. Ugh, look at his face. Yeesh. Wait, go back. What was that?
We have, in the middle of the issue, I don't know if your copy may not have had this.
Yeah, I have this.
We have a Fantastic Four feature page telling us how the torch's powers work.
Oh, I love the molecular drawing that Kirby did there that makes no sense.
Yeah. Yeah, he's trying to explain how his unstable molecule suit works. And Kirby had the unfortunate task of trying to draw that.
What is that? Look, when I'm not on fire, I have man clothes. But when I burst into flame, I wear a woman's coat. What's that purple thing?
What is that? He also sprays his room down with chemical foam every day.
That can't be good for you.
It can't be good for anything in that room.
How does the Fantastic Four not all have cancer? Was that a what if? What if the Fantastic Four died of cancer?
That's actually how Captain Marvel got it. It wasn't Nitro. It was all the time he used to hang out.
Hanging out in the Baxter Building. Yeah.
For the weekly poker games. Anyway, on to Chapter 2. The Hands of the Puppet Master. The singed, burnt hands.
He's very angry.
The Puppet Master is in pain and cries out. And all of a sudden, a young woman rushes into the room. His stepdaughter, Alicia.
Is she his stepdaughter at this point?
Yes. Okay. I am only your stepfather. Because she calls him father. And he's like, I'm not your father. I'm your stepfather.
Yeah, annoying cow. Get out of here.
She is blind, we find out.
Which is why she's not freaked out by his face.
He sends her out of the room, puts on his hazmat suit, and goes to...
Goes to the kitchen. This is in his house.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure that the hazmat suit's much help, considering you keep radioactive clay in your house. But yes, his clay, the clay he makes his puppets out of is radioactive, and that's how he can use them to control people.
Which makes sense.
Sure.
I had a note here that said radioactive clay, but how does that even... And then I just kind of trailed off. I said, you know what? Never mind. Doesn't
Wait,
matter.
You don't think it makes sense?
Doesn't
Were you being
matter.
Sarcastic?
No.
I love this first issue because the Puppet Master doesn't just make puppets. He makes dioramas.
Yeah, he goes all out. I mean, I guess he has to, in order for it to work, for his puppets to work, he has to place them in the environment he wants to control them in.
I'm relatively sure in future appearances he will not be so rigidly, you know, he can just basically make a puppet and fling it around and it'll do whatever. But yes, in this appearance.
I mean, you figure how much time does he have to do these things? How many days did it take him to make that bridge to put that guy on it?
Right? The puppet's the easy part. In any case,
just take a picture of a person and like stick it onto a clay doll?
Generic doll number one.
Yeah. He just has a bunch of like human shaped figures.
He makes a puppet of the Thing and puts it in a scale model of the room he's in, which forces the Thing to walk across town into his room.
That's a jump in logic too. And I think he should have to make the Thing walk the whole way too.
He's a scale model of the whole city. You can't leave the Bowery. I don't have anything outside of that.
It's like stop motion claymation. He has to like move his feet every step. Take a picture. Take a picture. Take a picture.
Do you think if they have like Fantastic Four toys, he could just use those instead? Like at least use their scale model of their Baxter Building playset. He could at least use that.
Just like stick a little bit of radioactive clay on top of their head.
how much clay do you really need to be?
It seems like overkill.
In any case, Sue follows the thing invisibly because he won't respond to her when she tries to talk to him.
Oh, is she still around?
Yeah, she's still around. So they both enter this room, but Alicia, the blind stepdaughter, as all blind people do, has superhuman powers of perception.
She can sense that there's two other people in the room.
She hears another's, or she senses another's heartbeat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's not offensive at all.
to what? To my sensibilities or to blind people?
To blind people. So the puppet master assumes this must be Sue, which, yeah, safe assumption. And he locks the door, stranding her in there, puts gas masks on everybody, and then...
and then activates his home built-in ether dispenser.
Exactly.
That's every good home had in the 60s.
Now, there's a lot of...
Go to sleep, children.
There's a lot of questions that come up here, but here's the first one.
Why does he have an ether dispenser in his house?
Is Alicia a total idiot? She goes throughout this issue...
Well, she is blind.
Apparently...
seems like what they're implying.
Apparently not understanding her stepfather is an evil maniac, even though he puts a gas mask on her and fills the room with ether.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Surely she must understand that something here is amiss.
I don't know. Maybe he's been doing this her whole life. Maybe she never leaves the house, so she thinks this is all normal. This is what people do.
That could be.
Hey, we're having guests over. We're going to blast them with gas.
As you do. So the puppet master has an unconscious Sue Storm, and he says, wait a minute. Kirby can only draw two female faces. Sue and Alicia look exactly alike.
Oh, one face, just different hair colors.
So all I have to do is give Alicia Sue's hair color, Sue's hairstyle, and she looks like Sue. And luckily, I have an exact replica of Sue's Fantastic Four uniform in Alicia's size for our Fantastic Four cosplay that we do.
That's not creepy at all.
No, not at all. So he dresses Alicia up as Sue Storm and sends her with the thing back to Fantastic Four headquarters to do what exactly?
Oh, we'll find out.
In the meantime, he has other plans. While Alicia and the thing head to the Baxter Building, he has a puppet of the warden's trustee. And he has, again, made a replica of the warden's office. How does he know what the warden's office looks like?
I don't know.
He's made a replica of his desk and a little tiny set of keys.
In a little tiny drawer.
So he makes the warden's trustee.
What is a warden's trustee anyway? Did you look that up?
No, I didn't.
I didn't either. I don't really think we need to. I just assumed it was the warden. Like, why?
Yeah, why not just make it the warden? What will he do with these keys? We'll find out after we check back in with the FF. So Reed and Johnny are hanging out at the Baxter Building, and they see the thing and Sue, because, well, they think it's Sue, and apparently, even though it's his own sister, Johnny is easily fooled by any woman in a wig. He lets them in, the thing starts attacking Johnny and attacking Reed, and as he's trying to beat up Reed, he stumbles across the table that Reed was working at and douses himself in the chemicals Reed was creating, and all of a sudden he turns back into Ben Grimm.
Yep. That's what happened.
Apparently that's what Reed was working on. They wouldn't let him in the lab because they're a bunch of jerks. Like, I don't know why it would have been so hard to let Ben in the lab while Reed was working on this. Reed says it's because he didn't want him to suffer another disappointment, but as we're going to see, this thing doesn't work anyway, so he's still disappointed. He could have been disappointed and not angry at you. How would that have been, Reed?
Reed can't function unless he's mad at him.
Apparently not.
He says, look, there's only one thing to do if I can lure him into the lab. What do you mean there's only one thing to do? You haven't tried wrapping him up yet. That usually works.
That's what you always do. So in any case, once the thing turns back into Ben Grimm, he's no longer under the puppet master's control because the puppet master only has a thing puppet, right? Not a Ben Grimm puppet.
Yep.
So he turns back to normal, but he doesn't stay that way long. They go, they check, make sure Johnny's okay, and then they go and they realize, oh, wait a minute, Reed says, wait, that's not the woman I normally have sex with. That's not Sue, that's Alicia.
Hey, you're assuming a lot here.
Maybe.
You forgot Namor.
Reed's like, I could get Sue back or I could try something different.
Wait, this woman's blind.
Oh, gosh, it's gotten horribly creepy. In any case, Alicia goes over to Ben, and she likes Ben, but then he turns back into Thing, and she likes him even more.
Much better. Wait, wouldn't he be back under the Puppet Master's control now?
I thought that as well. But apparently once that control's broken, it can never be reestablished. So,
and now to this jail subplot that makes no sense.
Yes, back to the prison where the warden's trustee who had stolen the keys under the Puppet Master's influence, now under the Puppet Master's influence, he makes the warden's trustee open the cells, releasing all the prisoners. Why? Does he want to release all the prisoners in the jail?
Don't know.
How does that help him?
Don't know. And help him do what?
Yeah.
What is the point of this jail stuff? Here's this scale model of the jail, though. He built that whole thing.
Yeah, he built a scale model of the jail. He built a ton of prisoners, a couple of guards. Is he controlling the entire prison break?
Which is funny because we learned that he can only, obviously not in this appearance, but we learned that Puppet Master can only control one person at a time.
Yeah.
So this is weird. Like, why did he build the thing and put all the puppets in there of the prisoners, and he also put puppets of the other guards, and he set it up so the prisoners are holding the guards hostage? Wouldn't the prisoners have done that anyway?
This is the point where I begin to suspect that the Puppet Master doesn't really care about crime, but just likes to make puppets and dioramas.
He's just mad because no one played with him when he was a kid.
So exactly.
He has all these toys.
And in any case, Sue wakes up while the Puppet Master is doing whatever he's doing. She tries to escape, but he's got a puppet of her, and he closes her ankles together so that she falls, but not before she shoots her flare gun out the window. And the
perfectly aimed.
Yeah, right? You know it would probably like hit the windowsill and burst into flame, and this whole building would be in...
Especially considering the panel at the bottom where she seems to be running away from an open space. Is she running towards a window? We don't ever see a window.
No, we don't. Well,
Not to mention, by the time he squeezes her ankle, she's down a flight of stairs that didn't even... What?
Yeah, Jack Kirby seems to have forgotten to draw some backgrounds, and when he did draw backgrounds on this page, they are not very consistent.
He lived in an apartment, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So the FF get there, and they are accosted by the Puppet Master's mentally controlled giant robot puppet.
Sure. So that was in the closet upstairs?
I mean, it kind of looks like a robot, but he calls it a puppet. And as far as we know, that he doesn't know how to build robots. So is this just a giant puppet? And if so, what is it made of?
Maybe he made a puppet of a robot out of radioactive clay that didn't actually exist. But once he made the puppet, it made the robot exist.
This is where we're like, I'm not really sure what his skill set is.
It's actually his refrigerator.
Or his resources.
I'm confused. I'm actually willing to let this one go.
Well, we kind of have to. Yeah. I mean, the FF have a little bit of trouble with it, but not too much, because the thing gets pretty close and hits it and it goes down, which it should. And then the FF turn around and see that the Puppet Master is now on a winged flying horse puppet.
Yeah, I got a problem with this one. I was willing to let the first robot go. This one doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah, because he and Alicia are getting away, and Mr. Fantastic reaches out and grabs Alicia, but then...
Oh, wait, is that Alicia?
That's Alicia.
That's not...
Oh, no, that's Sue. I'm sorry. He's getting away with Sue. They look alike, Jason.
I know. It's hard to tell.
He's getting away with Sue. Reaches out and grabs Sue. And then the Puppet Master, all of a sudden, his flying steed is jet-powered?
Yeah, it shoots a flame out of its butt.
Which, if this was a puppet, wouldn't it just burn and...
I don't know.
This has to be mechanical, right?
See, I would have thought that he could have made a puppet out of a real horse, and then he could control that horse.
But horses don't fly. You may not know this, but horses don't fly.
Well, this is the Marvel Universe.
Unless they're Pegasi.
As we'll see in a coming issue, there's an island somewhere that has a Cyclops on it, so...
Fair enough.
Is anyone else weirded out by how long Alicia's arms are in that panel? Yes, look at them. Her forearms are like 3 feet long. Good job, Kirby. She putting her real hair back on? I don't know what's going on in that panel. Look how big her arms are. Have you ever seen the character that Kristen Wiig used to do on SNL? It was like a Lawrence Welk background singer. She had little baby hands.
Yes, yes.
She had the big forehead. That's exactly what that looks like.
Kristen Wiig is Alicia Masters.
As Sue Storm.
In Prisoner of the Puppet Master. So the Puppet Master makes his getaway on his possibly mechanical flying puppet horse.
I don't know.
And the FF hear about on the TV, which apparently Sue turned the TV on because she was bored. I don't know why the TV's on. But she finds out...
Oh, yeah, wait. I forgot they got Sue back. I was waiting. Is that Sue or is that Alicia? I'm confused.
Well, Alicia wouldn't be able to tell them anything because she's blind.
So they pulled Sue off of his horse and he gets away by himself.
He gets away by himself and they find out about the jailbreak. So the FF jump in the Fantastic Car and head to the prison to stop this jailbreak, which they do, Pretty easily. The Human Torch uses his flame to...
melt everything.
Melt an underground passage...
through stone. Melts stone.
To where the warden is, and grabs the warden and flies away with the warden, so that the warden's not a hostage. Apparently, we don't care if the guards are hostages, as long as the warden is safe.
I'm not sure of the chemistry of this. Can you melt stone?
I mean, technically, I think you can melt anything if it's hot enough.
And then he melts his way through the earth and bursts out in the middle of the prison yard.
Right where the warden is, because he can hear the voices, so he can use that to pinpoint where he needs to pop up at.
He burst through melted earth. Isn't that the same as magma? Wouldn't everyone in that prison yard be dead?
I don't know about everybody, but the people close would certainly be dead.
That doesn't seem right.
And then once the warden is safe, the rest of the FF head in...
and kill all the prisoners.
Yeah. First of all, the thing rips a giant hole out of the wall, which thing, it's a prison. They need those walls.
Mm.
What are they supposed to do once you leave? How much damage have you now done to them? And he basically just throws some prisoners into a makeshift cell that he creates out of, again, parts of the prison.
He's ripped the doors off the prison cells and made a cage out of them.
Yeah, I think.
Which is kind of like just making the same thing out of what something already was.
But not as efficient, because how are the guards going to get the prisoners out of the prison?
And put them back in their cells?
Yeah, which no longer have doors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You don't. And then the prisoners fire at Mr. Fantastic. He absorbs the bullets and shoots them back with his pliable body and then grabs their guns.
It's the first time we've seen that he's technically bulletproof.
Yes, because in issue 2 with the Miracle Man, he dodged the bullets.
Yeah.
This is the first time we've seen him shot and found out the bullets don't affect him. They hit him and then they just bounce back.
That's interesting.
The Human Torch puts him in a circle, and the Invisible Girl, always wanting to help, manages to grab a gun from someone, or maybe she packs heat. I would if I were her. And hold someone at gunpoint invisibly again. Why is she invisible? But the prison riot is taken care of, and we're back to Alicia Masters' house, where she sits alone.
On a tire? What is that?
Until her stepfather comes back. Because he left behind his puppet of himself as an emperor.
After he's made a puppet of himself, isn't he now controlling himself?
Yeah, I would think so.
Wouldn't that just put him in a coma?
He's going to become emperor, he'll destroy the UN, he'll eat lots of food, and he'll make the Fantastic Four pull his chariot, where he wears an incredibly racist, giant Asian hat thing.
Yes.
He looks like Raiden from Mortal Kombat. I don't know what's going on. And Alicia finally realizes, you know, my stepfather might be evil.
Yeah.
She tries to grab the puppet from him.
She's really just trying to save him from himself.
So he throws her to the ground. The puppet goes flying. She's reaching for the puppet. She's on the ground reaching for the puppet. He's trying to get the puppet as well. And he trips over her arm and falls out the window of his apartment building, which is apparently not on the first floor.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Well, we see a window beneath it, so it's at least the second floor.
Okay, yeah.
And then we see the FF rush in to comfort Alicia, and we see that the Emperor puppet, which was laying on its back the last time we saw it, is now laying on its stomach, just like the Puppet Master must be, dead and crushed on the pavement outside.
Well, it will be once Reed steps on it.
Hey, guess what? We need to do the letters column.
Need...
Fantastic Four fan page. Don Henrahan Jr. of West Islip, New York, tells them not to play the Black Magic theme too often. I'm not sure what he's talking about. I guess that was Doom?
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't really play the Black Magic theme much when Doom was in the issue.
He's talking about the music.
Oh, well, I understand that then.
Black Magic Woman.
One of the letters casts an FF movie, but with actors from the 1960s.
Oh, this ought to be good. Is John Agar one of them?
This is H. Schur of Brooklyn, New York. He says that Gregory Peck would play Mr. Fantastic.
Okay.
Troy Donahue would be the Human Torch.
Seems a little old for that part.
Steve Reeves would be the Thing.
Steve Reeves. Okay.
And Tuesday Weld would play the Invisible Girl.
I'm not sure of the ages of these people, but it doesn't match up, I don't think. I imagine that Troy Donahue is younger than Tuesday Weld? I don't know.
I don't really... I mean, obviously of these actors, the one I know the most are Gregory Peck and Steve Reeves. Gregory Peck, I think, would actually be a great Reed Richards. Like, I could see that. He could imbue him with a lot of humanity that Reed Richards is often missing in the comic. But I don't really know the others well enough to know. I would have cast Sally Field as, I really know, actors from 1962.
Willie Nelson as the Human Torch. I would have taken just a bunch of people from Cannonball Run and made them a fantastic. Dean Martin as Mr. Fantastic.
Oh my gosh. That would be amazing.
Dom DeLuise as the Thing.
I was thinking of Sue, but fine, it's the thing.
Oh, boy.
Frank Sinatra as Dr. Doom. It's like Julian McManus, Dr. Doom. Anywho.
These letters are boring.
That's it. Those are the only letters we have. So, where do they go from here? We won't see the Puppet Master again in the next few issues, but he does come back.
I have some Puppet Master trivia for you.
Oh, go ahead.
Did you know that he's from Transia?
I did. Where's Transia, Jason?
That's somewhere over in Europe.
Is it?
It's Eastern Europe.
That's where Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are from, isn't it?
It is, yes. The Pinocchio town that they live in. it's also home to Wundagore Mountain, where the High Evolutionary had his base, and where the ancestors of Werewolf by Night got their lycanthropy curse.
And where Chthon was imprisoned. Chthon was imprisoned for many years, which we also saw in the Avengers.
And that's where Puppet Master got his clay from, was from Wundagore Mountain. That's why it's enchanted clay.
Yeah, so they eventually move into it not being radioactive so much as being magical.
Yes. And the next time the Puppet Master shows up, they mention that he fell and died, but they don't actually explain why he's there now.
Yeah, he will be back to bedevil the Fantastic Four shortly after the first year. He shows up in like issue 16, I think, or something like that.
I would have thought at that point that Stan Lee would have explained it away, that the Puppet Master that we saw die was actually a large puppet that he kept as like an LMD.
Oh my God, that actually would have been a really good idea.
So he kind of controlled himself, so he wasn't the one actually coming back into the apartment. It was a puppet of himself getting another puppet of himself.
That would have been amazing.
Inception.
There is a little while where he reforms. And we saw him in the Avengers as well. He fought the Avengers. He often teams up with the Mad Thinker.
Yes.
And sometimes with the Wizard.
Yes.
And we do see him and Egghead. He teams up with in the Avengers when we see him.
That's too
briefly.
Bad.
But he's not in the Avengers a whole lot. He eventually reforms for a little while. He decides he actually does like Alicia, unlike in this issue where he treats her like garbage. But he...
He gets mad, though, because she dates half of the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, and I don't think that his reformation actually lasts for very long. I think he goes back to his villainous ways.
Isn't that one of the times we see him show up with the... When the, Johnny marries...
Yes.
He and the Mad Thinker.
Mm-hmm. Right? But he betrays the Mad Thinker eventually because he decides at the end of the day he wants Alicia to be happy, and if she's happy being married to the Human Torch, then he's not going to interfere.
Doesn't it turn out that Alicia's just been a Skrull that whole time?
Yeah, but he doesn't know that. He's a character I'd never have really warmed to, and I think his powers are so difficult to use well.
Well, they don't really make sense.
No, they don't make any sense. So he's not a character I've really been a fan of.
I always like him better when he's creepy looking like this.
Yes, and we will see Alicia. Alicia Masters becomes very important in this book, but we'll see her again before we are done with these 12 issues. So your closing thoughts?
I don't know. There's like an episodic issue here. Where the Puppet Master shows up, and by the end of the issue, he's taken care of and done.
I don't think I've ever liked the Puppet Master more than in this issue, which isn't so much a celebration of this issue as an example of my feelings about the Puppet Master.
It's just so wacky in this issue.
And his design in this issue, really, Jack Kirby makes him look so creepy.
He looks like a ventriloquist dummy.
Yes, he looks like a ventriloquist dummy come to life. And it's really creepy, and it's effective.
Yeah.
It makes him almost this close to being a horror villain. Mm-hmm. Like, you could make a horror movie out of this character.
Well, there is a whole series of Puppet Master horror movies.
That's right, there is, isn't it?
It's not him, but...
Sure. I love the fact that in this issue, he makes all these dioramas.
I know, it's crazy.
It's in all these different puppets.
The guy is literally insane.
And not just makes puppets, but he's puppeteering. Like, most of the time when he's using the puppets, he places them somewhere. He touches them with his hands. But when he's making the Warden's Trustee get the keys, he is manipulating the Warden's Trustee puppet like a marionette.
Yeah, he's got him on strings. And
it's really cool.
And in the background, in a couple of the scenes, we see other puppets that he has hanging up.
Yes.
And the one scene, it looks like maybe like Queen Elizabeth and Castro, and like he's got a bunch of other world leaders.
I wish they would have. Unfortunately, after this, they make him more of a supervillain. Like, he kind of falls into more of a supervillain category, and that's a shame, because he's more interesting as this lone... I don't think he should team up with other people. I think he should be this creepy lone figure who is basically causing problems more than doing evil.
Yeah, they could have created, like, a big long con kind of thing, where he's been pulling the strings of all these people behind the scenes for issues and issues and issues.
That's how you use the Puppet Master, and I don't think he'll ever be used like that again. Plus, when more traditional artists like a Paul Ryan, who I like his art, but he's more traditional, when they draw him, he just looks like a guy with a big head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you keep reading?
Yeah, this one was kind of interesting. I mean, I already gave up last issue, so I mean, I guess they got me back with this creepy Puppet Master on the cover.
After last issue, this seems so much better than the last issue that I probably would have been like, well, that last issue was just a one-off. And again, this the character design on this is interesting enough that I'd probably keep going.
Yeah. I really feel like the Fantastic Four doesn't use their own powers very often, though.
Well, Sue does. She's always invisible.
For no reason.
And the Thing's usually the Thing.
Yeah, and I mean, he punches.
But no, you're right. We're not
they
seeing...
They don't face a lot of villains where they can battle them one-on-one or... And it's not until... How long until the Frightful Four shows up and they actually have, you know, four people with powers that they can fight against.
Of all the villains that they have fought, they really only have two. Because they couldn't fight the Mole Man. He was a little guy with a staff.
Yeah.
They couldn't fight the Miracle Man. He was powerless. What was six? What was before Kurgo?
Oh, I don't have my notes anymore.
Okay, that's right. So so far they've used two villains that they can fight one on one, and that's Doom and Namor.
Yeah.
Doom doesn't want to fight them one on, or four on one. Doom doesn't want to fight them like that. So in his two appearances, he doesn't engage them.
Yeah, he's pretty hands off
because it's not his style.
Yeah.
And so Namor is the one they fought in eight issues. They have fought one villain that really can take it to them in a fisticuff way, and that's Namor.
Yep.
Who actually doesn't really fight them that way either. He sends giant sea creatures after them or works with them.
Or just takes them, like, one at a time.
Yeah.
He'll fight the Thing or he'll fight Human Torch, but, yeah, they haven't faced a team. That's the one problem with a team book. If they don't have another team to fight, it gets kind of weird.
Depends who they're fighting. I think the Avengers do okay with it, depending on who... You know, if you're fighting, like, a Kang, he's powerful enough that... You know, usually they can fight him on their own. You know, the whole team can fight him at once.
But it's more interesting with, like, a Masters of Evil.
Agreed. 100% agreed. If you've got a team, you want to fight a team.
Yes. On that note.
Thanks for listening.
Yes. If you want to get in touch with us to tell us bad things about us, or not, our email address is year1comics@gmail.com. We also have an Instagram page at year1comics.
Or make a puppet of us and force us to come to your house.
You can control us to make more podcasts. Please don't do that.
That's the only way we'll get Jason to do more. Anybody that wants the Avenging Hour to continue, have to make a puppet of... Well, at this point in time, you'd have to make a puppet of both of us.
You have to make a puppet of the comics and force us to read them.
Marionette us so we turn the page one at a time.
That's it, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye.